I think most of us are aware that we're in the midst of a transition period, and many of us are conflict avoidant and don't like to talk about things like that, but it's important that we talk about places where we might disagree. So I want to share with you today, even though it makes some of us very uncomfortable, the 12th chapter of Hebrews, because God's Word draws us together and gives us some guidance in this situation. I'm going to use several versions today. Of course, they won't be up here. I'm using J.B. Phillips, which is a version that maybe you're not familiar with. Look it up on Bible Gateway, because J.B. Phillips is a good translation in more modern English. And I'll be using the NIV and the NLT. So I'll be using various translations, but I want you to turn in your Bible so that you have that 12th chapter in front of you and we can look at some verses together. Basically, the author of Hebrews says, "So take a fresh grip on life and brace your trembling limbs. Do not wander away from the path, but forge steadily forward. On the right path, the limping foot recovers strength and does not collapse." This passage follows the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Remember, in the first verse of the 11th chapter, the writer describes faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things that are not seen. Faith is that hope that reaches out. So the 12th chapter of Hebrews, as we look at it together, I'm reading from the NLT, and if I can read it, I'll share it with you. No, I've got these, but they're not that good. "Therefore, since we're surrounded by a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off any weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. And then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you've not yet given your lives in the struggle against sin. And have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, 'My child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord's disciplines those he loves, and he disciplines each one he accepts as a child.'" And then down in verse 10, "Our earthly fathers discipline us for a few years, doing the best they know how. But God disciplines us. God's discipline is always good for us, so that we might share in his holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But afterwards, there is a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way." I like that verse. "So take a new grip on your life with your hands and strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet, so that those who are weak and lame will not fall, but become strong. Work at living in peace with everyone. Work at living a holy life, for those who are holy, those who are not holy, will not see the Lord. Look after each other, so that none of you fails to receive God's grace. And watch out that no one Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting those around you. The Word of God. The writer of Hebrews says, this is the time for discipline and mental toughness. And Christ is the head of the body. We are the body. It's time, not time to cave in or to move out. It's time to stand up to glorify the Lord. We are at a really exciting time in the life of this church right now. With all that's about to happen around us, with buildings, in here, as a new pastor comes to lead, all those kinds of things. So this letter from Hebrews is for us, but it was written originally to second-generation Christians who were struggling with their faith, struggling to get their concept of God clear and to apply it to their lives and situations. Now, we don't face physical punishment, physical persecution as they did, but we do face the world every day, don't we? And it's tough. We get beat up. And we need to hang in there. That's really the message of this passage from Hebrews, is to hang in there. So first of all, let's start at the beginning and look at verse 3 and 4. Because we start with Christ. That's our anchor. That's the one that holds us. Consider him, Christ, who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you've not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Hang in there. It's really not as tough as others have had it. We need to be looking for the blessings that God has for us. So the writer of Hebrews goes on and he talks, we cut a little bit of it out, but he talks considerably about discipline there. In the middle of this hang in there endurance message, where he says take care of one another, there's a discipline thing in there, and that seems to be placed there because that's what prepares us for that peaceful harvest of righteousness. So we need to be disciplined. The discipline that you gain from endurance, the writer says, will allow the broken places of your lives to be healed rather than destroyed. Those words hold good wisdom for each of us, no matter what hardship we face. It's a matter of attitude. It's a matter of posture. It's either we're downhearted and our hands are drooping, or we're uplifted and our hands are raised. So it's a matter of posture and position. From the Message translation or paraphrase, I read from the 12th and 13th verse of this text, if you want to turn to that. It says, so don't sit around on your hands. No more dragging your feet. Clear the path for long-distance runners so that no one will trip and fall. So no one will step in a hole and sprain an ankle. We had two people, I think, sprain ankles and knees and things this week. I'm not sure whether this verse applies to that or not. Think about it. And then it says, help each other out and run for it. The key here in all this passage and in all the book of Hebrews and others in the scriptures is to keep on keeping together. We are the body of Christ. And we need to be together as that body in a posture of hopefulness to God. Now, one of the most telling examples of that keeping on kind of attitude, I read one time Thomas Hearn wrote about his trip, his expedition to the Coppermine River. It's in the Arctic Circle. And he wrote that a few days after they began their expedition, a group of Indians came and stole most of their supplies. Catastrophe. Depends how you look at it, isn't it? Listen to what he said as he wrote about it. He said, the weight of our luggage being so much lightened, our next day's journey was more swift and pleasant. Perspective. We need to look up, not down. Lift your drooping hands. Take a fresh grip on life and brace your trembling limbs. Do you remember in the scriptures the most famous story about this endurance, this lifting drooping hands that we're talking about this morning from Hebrews? It comes from Exodus chapter 17. I'm not going to read it this morning, but I'm going to tell you the story, and you know the story. I remember in Sunday school I learned about Moses and the Exodus. All of us learned about that, right? In chapter 17, it's talking about a particular battle with the Amalekites. And the Israelites and the Amalekites were fighting, and Moses was up on a hill. He was watching over the battle. And in his hand he had the rod of God. Remember that rod? He did many things with it in the scriptures, get water and all those kind of things. But this rod of God that showed the presence and power of God was in his hand. He lifted it to the sky. And when it was lifted up, the Israelites were winning. And when he drooped, the Amalekites were winning, and it wasn't looking very good. All day the battle raged, and Moses was getting tired. Until his brother Aaron and another man named Hur saw what was happening. And they came to Moses. They put a rock down, set him on the rock, and one got on each side and lifted his arms, so that they'd be raised. And the Israelites won a tremendous battle that day. The thing we need to realize is that all of us get droopy from time to time. We do. Sometimes all the toughness and the discipline and the positive faith in the world can't lift us up. We need someone else. We need human help and we need divine help, certainly. We need to recognize and admit that we need help or the battle is lost. And so, I want to tell you, this being together stuff, this working together stuff is so important. I learned as a boy the lesson about the fact that I couldn't do things by myself. I needed others. In Mrs. Nelson's day camp, when I was just little, I remember the hikes we used to take out across the dangerous trestle that crossed the Conococheague Creek. And of course, we boys, I suppose it had something to do with manliness, we'd try to walk that rail across the trestle, and you see that river, it's really a river, not a creek, down below us there, and it was scary, and of course, we didn't last very long on the rails. But I learned a lesson then. I learned if I had a friend and took that friend's hand across the span of the tracks from one track to the other, we could stay on top of the rails, and we could go quicker too because we were together. I think that's a good lesson for all of us because we all cross bridges in our Christian life. The body of Christ is where we walk beside one another. And we help hold each other up. Now, there are times when we need to lift each other up, but that takes two people. The first is that it takes somebody who's vulnerable enough to say, I need help. I'm struggling. I have questions. Whatever. The other person is, or persons, are the ones that step up to help. To answer questions, to resolve issues, to lift that person's arms. And it says in verse 15 in our text, as we lift those arms, verse 15 says, look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. And then it says, watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up in you, also corrupting others. I want to talk about root of bitterness. Not a fun thing, but a real thing, because I've seen some of it around. That's when we allow some perception or some misunderstanding or something else to appear as truth in our lives, and we act on it and gather others around us to act with us. And it festers. And the scripture says it not only festers in us, but it goes out and reaches others as well. That root of bitterness, living that way, instead of living in love and forgiveness and letting go of things, it begins to tear us down and it begins to tear the body down. That's exactly why you see so many church splits. Because people get in the way of who? Yeah. God is leading and empowering us, but when we get in the way, it pulls us down, pulls others down, and we feel bitter, we feel uptight, we feel put upon. We need to make our paths straight according to God's will rather than a winding, diverted, detoured path. Remember the scripture that Cindy shared with us last week? Comes from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 4 and 6. Really guidance verses for us. Listen. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. You know, the Hasidic Jews, they wear those prayer boxes with prayers in them there and on their forehead. Bind them to yourself. Then you will win favor and good name in the sight of God and man. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. I think those last two verses should perhaps be our theme as we move through the vote for the new pastor and beyond. Because our mission is to live out the love and forgiveness that we have received from Christ and to allow that to mold the situation. We've a mission to each other in the body of Christ that begins when one of us is willing to be vulnerable and the other admits they're there to help. We need each other. And together we can lift our hands and our feet in love. No matter how we feel, we can decide, like Thomas Hearn decided to be a keep-on kind of guy, we can decide to be part of the body and to move ahead as God leads. I thank God for the brothers and sisters we have in this congregation that are reaching out to others. I think of the Stephen Ministry Group, the Caring Hearts, and others who come alongside people when they have a need. That's important for all of us to do, and I'm sure many of you have stepped in and done similar things. We need to do that in grace and peace and allow other things to fall away so that Christ can be central. This is the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. Now, all of this, I think, applies to our current church situation. We've been in transition now for years, really. We came from the PCUSA Presbyterian Church to the EPC Presbyterian Church, and that's been a blessing. But it's been difficult too, because we've had to adapt. We've had to become Presbyterian, which means more structure. And structure is necessary if we're going to get bigger, so we're preparing for that future. But it's been hard for us to make that adapting to that structure. I mean, we have new elders now that have come on board who are learning how to lead graciously. And praise the Lord for their willingness. But we still have folks in the church who are still hurting from misunderstandings and disappointments from the prayerful decision that the Pulpit Selection Committee has made for the person to lead the church. working through those processes the way God led them to work through those processes. We're coming to a vote next week for a new pastor. And that pastor needs all of us to be united in one mind and one spirit, regardless of our feelings, to support the process that's moving ahead. Get behind him in the body of Christ, because he's joining our ministry to lead us into the future. And the process has worked. Now, we're all stressed, and that's okay. But I see some hands drooping, some heads drooping in the process. And so we need to lift each other. We each need to dial back our own desires to get our own way. You know, it's human, but it's not godly. And we need to get back to focusing on Jesus and God's grace. And then our spiritual vision, our dependence on the Spirit, will lift us and renew us in life. Get that new grip. I mean, what's the name of this church? Grace. We need to live in grace, forgiveness, and love for one another. So hang in there, the writer of Hebrews says. Like Moses, all pastors and their families need their hands lifted up too. We need to be prepared for that, for Michael and his family as they come. You know, as Bill chose to leave Grace almost two months before he would have had to, it caused him great pain. Great pain. And he needs our prayers and our support. God has placed us in this spiritual body that has a structure, that has procedures we're following, and he's called leaders to lead the church. Elders, our pulpit selection committee, others to lead the church. The question is, what can we do, each of us, in this next week to prepare for next week, to prepare for the next pastor, to lift our elders, to lift those beside us, those who are hurting, so that we all can be renewed and grow as the Spirit. I want to close this morning with a Jewish legend that I've used, I suppose, many times in my ministry, that talks about heaven being at the place where we help one another. That's the location of heaven, this Jewish legend says. According to that legend, there were two farmers, equal-sized farms, and one was married and had kids, brothers. The other was single, and they were both farming. One night, the married man took some grain from his fields and took it over to his single brother's fields because he was alone. He needed good news. He needed to be cheered up. That very same night, the single brother took grain from his fields to the married brother's fields because he had so many mouths to feed. And they met in the middle. Can you see that meeting? Can you visualize that? Remember last week we talked about seeing in pictures? And that place where they met is where a temple was built. It's in giving ourselves away to one another that God wins the battle. I quite often use the term good and faithful servant, and that comes from Matthew 25. And the good and faithful servant described there is the one who helps his brothers and sisters in whatever need they have. My son told me about a bumper sticker just this last week. He said he saw a bumper sticker that says, "If you think I'm crazy for giving so much to others, wait till you meet Jesus." That's the bottom line, isn't it? There are times when each of us must lift the other's hands and endure. I thank God that he's given us Jesus to lift us up. He's given us the Spirit to fill us. And many times, of course, he carries us. I know MJ likes Edie like that poem, Footprints. He carries us many times. And we're to carry each other in those same ways. Have you seen the picture of the Christ statue that has no hands, was vandalized? It's out in San Diego, California. And around that, at the bottom of that statue, there's a sign that says, Christ has no hands, but your hands. Think about it. So in these trying times and the hectic preparation for all the changes that are coming, let's be Christ's hands and feet for each other. Take a fresh grip on life and lift up your drooping hands. Now, I'd like to give us a mental picture of that before we leave. And this is where I wanted Jessica to be here. But who else is helping in Bible school? Andra? Okay. MJ, stand up and hold your arms out, will you? How about our sound team back here? Mike isn't here today, but stand up, hold your arms out. Please. All of you. session members, stand up and hold your arms out. Marilyn, Martha, for Caring Hearts, and Mary Campbell, prayer list. Bobby, Juan, and Diane of Stephen Ministries, stand up and hold your arms out. Security team, many of them may be out in the hall, but hold your arms out. Now, the rest of you, find someone, stand beside them, and hold their arms up. We're creating a symbol here, a picture. Something memorable. Hold their arms up for us to pray. Okay. Let's bow and pray. Lord God, we are your people, your church. We thank you for leaders and helpers and servants that volunteer so freely. Help us, Lord, to hold each other's arms up no matter what the position or the job in the church. Help us to put ourselves behind and put you first. No matter our feelings, help us to glorify you as we are bound together as your church in your ministry. Holy Spirit, fill each of these positions with your Spirit. Fill each of those who are holding arms up with your Spirit, and give us strength, a new grip on life, a new strength to stand as your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.